You are listening to Intellectual Thoughts of a Teenage Girl, Program 7, aired on Global Community Radio. I'm your host, Nicole Garland. If you have any feedback or comments for the show, please feel free to email me at intellectualthoughtsofateen@gmail.com. Exactly with the way I said it is exactly the way you spell it. If you have any questions or want to get a better idea of what my show is about, or if you want to catch up on podcast, please feel free to check out my website, intellectualthoughtsofateengirl.blogspot.com. Feel free to also hit me up on Facebook or Twitter. My Facebook is Intellectual Thoughts of a Teenage Girl. My Twitter is @teengirlradio. I last talked to my friend Sean Lay on the show for my second show, and that was quite a few weeks ago. That was maybe like 4 or 5 weeks ago. It's amazing to think that I'm already on my 7th episode. I closed my eyes and here I am. Here I am in China. Haha, no. I wish though. It's definitely on my list, and although I'm not there, I'll be living in spirit, as my guest is here again to talk about China. Welcome back to the show, Sean. How are you?
I am good.
Good. Do you speak with German accent?
Yeah.
Good, good. So I just told my audience that I've always wanted to go to China. Do you mind if I asked you some questions about your home country?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So what is it like over there? Like, is it mostly a mountain terrain? Is it mostly a city terrain where you live? Like, tell me about the people and tell me about the physical aspects of China.
The physical aspects of China, sure. Well, China is roughly the same size as the United States. Just like the United States, there's the mountainous regions of Appalachians, however you pronounce it, and the beaches of California, eastern seaboard or anything. The United States is a very diverse place in terms of terrain, climate, everything. So same thing with China. In the north, you got, Beijing, as the capital, and those regions, when I was there, it's kind of like, probably more like New York in terms of weather. In the winter it gets really, really cold, but in the summer it can get pretty hot as well. The southern regions, like most places, it gets a little bit warmer. Mountainous terrains, definitely. I'm not sure exactly on top of my head where they exactly they are. I do remember, going in these trains in China as a kid. These trains going to these tunnels around these mountains, everywhere. Those trains are actually pretty cool. I haven't been in a train like that in the United States. They have like a bed. They have a cart that's for food. They have the person, going through the aisle selling food, rice or whatever they have on the menu. And it depends where you stop, in the country. People also, sell bread and things like that. So that's in terms of terrain. You also asked about people. The culture there, obviously is a big place. But in general, I think I talked about it a little bit, sometimes before that. I think in the United States, I think Americans in general tend to be more rule following. And sometimes people might say, no, they don't disagree. But overall, even when people disagree with the law, even when people hate the law, even when people fight against the law or break the law, it's still the law. They still place an importance on the law without realizing it or not. For example, there's a law that says you can't bike here, but people will say, you know what, I'm going to break the law and bike it, and get all, anti-bullying and stuff. But in China, if there's a law that says you can't bike here, people say, oh, okay, there's a law. But then they'll just break it anyways, So it's more flexible in terms of the action, but less flexible in terms of, what you can say, censorship, and things like that. Whereas in the United States, it's the opposite. I feel like Americans are more flexible in terms of what we can speak, how we can dress, how we can express ourselves. But in terms of actions, we're more respectful to, like, you know, laws and regulations and things like that. You know, we try to change regulations, but we still kind of respect it. So that's people. And that kind of, you know, that tells you a little bit about how the country works and everything. China has some great places to visit for tourism. There are lots of mountains to hike and, everything. I remember there was a place where I grew up in Sichuan. I used to hike up the mountains, and there are these water, you know, and I was being told that they're clean enough that you can just drink, you know, from the water. It's a lot of nature places, but at the same time, the cities, I think they're also going through, like, the kind of like almost like the Industrial Revolution that we had here in the United States a long time ago. So some places tend to be polluted, especially Beijing, although they kind of cleaned it up recently. There's lots of things to do. There are lots of things to eat. Different places in China have different flavors. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, wow, that was really amazing. That was a really good description about your home country, Sean. So next time I'm in China, I'm going to rebel and ride a bike.
Maybe China is it. You don't even rebel. Like, it's just people just do it. Like, there's no sense like, oh, wow, you know, I broke a rule. You know, whereas, like, in China, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, you break a rule. Okay, cool, good for you. What are you trying to say? You know,
Generally speaking,
that is.
Yeah, because you talked to me about China a lot and some of your travels and going to China, how often do you visit there?
For my job right now, I go every other month. I go there about 3 times. You know, I go there for a day, come back. That's right now. I look around, I shop, eat for, like, you know, 24 hours or something, and then come back. And I do that about 3 times a month, every other month. And that's about, for now.
Yeah, for those of you just stopping by and have not listened to the last episode with Sean, I talked about his job. He is a flight attendant, so I hope that makes a little bit more sense when he talks about his job. So, Sean, I did want to ask you, what are the similarities and differences you see in Chinese and American culture?
Some of the main differences?
Yes.
Okay. The differences, kind of like I said about the way people look at laws and regulations. I think a lot of Chinese people come to the United States are kind of surprised that, you know, when there's a stoplight, people actually stop at the stoplight, you know. And that may have something to do with the stereotypes, you know, about the Asian stripe and stuff like that. But what it is that, you know, people don't respect traffic laws as much. And I think a lot of other parts of the world, the same thing, but not just China, compared to the United States. The people there are, obviously it's a big place in the north, south, you know, there are different cultures and everything. There's a joke that a coworker told me about, you know, 3 cities in China and their stereotypes that should tell you a little bit about the differences, you know, about these cities and also how a big country like that can have different cultures in one single country. So the joke is that, okay, first of all, there's Beijing, Shanghai, Hong Kong. Beijing people are known to be, you know, the capital of China, somewhat political. You know, they're more law-abiding, actually, in Beijing than the other cities, relatively speaking. And, Shanghai is known more as a business center. A lot of people do business over there, also, you know, with the United States and everything. Hong Kong is where Bruce Lee came from. They're known for, stereotypically, they're known for fighting, eating, stuff like that. So the joke goes, they're aliens that came from, this UFO, and when this UFO landed, these green little guys came out, and in China, so the Beijing people saw the little green aliens, and they said, I wonder what their government's like, you know, the politics and everything. And the Shanghai people said, I wonder how much money they have. You know, we could do business with them. And and the Hong Kong people said, I wonder what they taste like. they have stereotypes in China, about everybody, pretty much. With how people look at each other and everything. What is funny is that, here in the United States, I came here, and people tell me, it obviously sounds racist and everything, but they said that, Chinese people all look the same. You guys all look the same. But when I first came to the United States, I sort of saw every, American person as the same, I kind of lumped them into one group, when I first came here officially as an immigrant. In China, we, I apologize if this is a little bit racist, even though I'm kind of making fun of my own race and everything, but I have to kind of illustrate how the culture is like. We were watching, I was living in mainland China, I didn't speak Cantonese, but we know about Cantonese. So we would make fun of the Cantonese speakers and say, Ching Chong, things like that. We didn't think, nobody said it was too bad or racist or anything when I was there. But when I came to the United States, I hear the same stereotypes about Chinese people in general, Ching Chong. And I was like, hey, you guys can't say that. That's our stereotype. That's our, the stuff that we say. And also another time, I remember in kindergarten. We had a drawing class, class, and the teacher was teaching us how to draw. And this time, we're being taught how to draw a foreigner, like a white person, a foreigner, younger. And the teacher said, "Okay, to draw a foreigner, draw a foreigner. First draw, some red hair, it's curly. Foreigners, they have curly hair, and they have sideburns, and things like that." I could be making it up. I think the foreigner that we drew had, suspenders on or something, too. But things like that, because it's such a homogenous community I grew up in, we don't see it as, offensive, racist, or anything like that. But if we actually carried over, if in the United States we did the same thing for any kind of, group, race, or anything like that, we would be kind of in big trouble. And it makes sense because, in the United States, we kind of have to survive with, all these different cultures and diverse things like that, which is part of what makes our country great, in a way. But in China, growing up, there are, things like that we say and do that would be considered, maybe racist in the United States. But that's not to say that we don't have a good heart or we, like to welcome foreigners to our country and everything. And sometimes we actually do welcome, outside people to visit us. But in terms of political correctness, where I grew up, I think it's also the working class culture that kind of, came from the communist, background or something. So at least for the working class, in China, it's a lot like the working class in the United States, politically not correct. People say whatever they want, a little more relaxed in that regard. And, I think there's more difference between, the different classes in the United States and China than between, the working class in the United States and working class in China. I think there's a lot of similarities. The differences is in, who the working classes are, who are the ones that, have the money or power. In the United States, I think it's more about money, money talks. In China, it's more about authority. If you have authority, you're in the right position, right relationship with people, then you get the power. So that's what I noticed, at least.
Yeah, I also, you had also mentioned that you talk about some things that you love about your country. Could you share some of the things that you love?
Oh, about China?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love both countries.
Yes.
But one thing I love about China is, besides food. Well, I'm going to talk about food. How's that? When I was growing up, I ate a lot of Chinese food, but I got tired of it, and I just wanted to eat American food. you know, growing up in the United States, you know, after immigrating to the United States, going to Burger King is like a treat. You don't know how excited we are when, you know, our dad says, hey, you know, we're going to Burger King today. We're like, yay! we're getting ready and everything. I was like, oh, no, you know, we have some leftovers. We got some Chinese leftovers. We got to stay home. But when I grew out, when I left my parents or anything, and I had to eat American food every day, I kind of miss Chinese food. So, but in China, like I said, it's so many variations of food in general. You know, there's spicy foods in Sichuan, there's noodles, more, you know, in the northern parts. You know, different foods that makes different regions famous. But one thing I have to say is that when people say authentic Chinese food, sometimes it could be misleading, because like, one Chinese person might say, oh, this doesn't sound, you know, this doesn't taste authentic. But that might be because he's from a different region in China, and that's just not how they do it in their region. Or, you know, it might just be like, you know, how their parents or mom makes their food. It's different. You know, sometimes that's it. I mean, sometimes you get Chinese food that's just not authentic at all. Like, well, like, people just made this up. I guess, you know, I can call this authentic, maybe. But to put things in perspective, I live in Texas right now, and I have to say that there's one restaurant in Texas that has really, really authentic Sichuanese Chinese food, you know, the spicy Sichuan spicy food. That restaurant tastes to me more authentic than the food that I had in this one restaurant that serves Chinese food in Beijing. And the dish is called Fuxi Fei Pian. It's called husband and wife lung slices. I don't know why they call it that, but it's basically, it has a beef stomach in it, and it's a spicy dish. And I had it in Beijing, and it's like, wow, you know, this is like, I mean, it's good and everything, but it doesn't taste as authentic as the one that I had in Texas, you know. So that's just the thing about authentic foods. You know, sometimes you can get really authentic foods in the United States. You know, that restaurant I went to in Texas, I felt like I could just, you know, pretend that I was in China, in Sichuan, and, you know, it tastes just like it. So food is something that I like in China, and I can talk about other things too, but I was wondering if you have any other questions.
Yes, I do. For those of you just stopping by, this is Intellectual Thoughts of a Teenage Girl, Program 7, aired on Global Community Radio. The voices you are listening to is the voice of Nicole Garland, your host, and guest Sean Lay. Any comments or feedback for the show can be emailed at intellectualthoughtsofateen@gmail.com. If you want to know more information about the show or where to find podcasts of previous episodes, you can find it on intellectualthoughtsofateengirl.blogspot.com. Also, catch me posting some information on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook is Intellectual Thoughts of a Teenage Girl, and my Twitter is @teengirlradio. So we're here with Sean, and we are asking him questions about China. And that is a place that I've always wanted to go. So we're going to get right back into it. So, Sean, what are some things you think that we lack in both cultures, the U.S. and Chinese?
I think we lack nothing. We're perfect just the way we are. Like, we're special. I'm kidding. Well, I think there's special things about both cultures. I think what's important is that we kind of maintain our culture by just simply know that even though we like to think that the grass is greener on the other side, but we actually are very good. We have a lot of good qualities in our own countries, and I say that as an immigrant coming in this country who, you know, also traveled back to China and, you know, is, you know, connected with my, you know, roots and everything, I guess, relatively. For example, in the United States, people think that, you know, the government's failing us, you know, everything's falling apart, oh, it's anarchy, you know, it's bad and stuff like that. But every time something like that happens, there's also the silver lining. For example, I see a lot of compassion in Americans in general. You know, you have a problem, you stop on the road, people come and help you. People generally have a, you know, really good heart in the United States. And not to mention that, you know, Americans are sort of not law-abiding, but respect the law in general. And I think a lot of people who travel to other countries, especially China, can tell you that in a lot of places, there's no regard for law, which you know, obviously it's a type of freedom, but without that, without laws, it also creates, you know, like a oppression in an unseen way. For example, I think a lot of Americans see China as like, you know, or how should I say this? But anyways, so basically what I'm trying to say is that the United States, you know, has a lot of good qualities that I think people who grew up here may not be able to, you know, realize. And that's the same thing with anything. You know, you grew up the same household, you think your family is the worst, but then you look at other families like, oh, wow, you know, my family's not as bad. You know, sort of that. And sometimes your family is, you know, pretty tough, but then you grew up and you realize, oh, wow, you know, this actually helped me with this and that. Well, in China, the same thing. You know, we had our you know, problems and also, you know, good things. But there are some misconceptions about, you know, what modern China is like. For example, how should I say this? When the, you know, the communists, you know, the communists took over, you know, China and everything, they kind of got rid of a lot of the traditional culture, traditional ways of life that I guess supposedly we used to have. You know, like things like martial arts, certain values are not, they did their own thing. I don't want to get too much into the, you know, the politics and everything like that. But what I'm trying to say is that they kind of had to do that because, you know, I guess in a way to justify that is that a long time ago, the Boxer Rebellion, you know, China has been under a lot of foreign oppression. You know, they've been kind of bullied, so they kind of have to, you know, stay strong or anything. I think that's why most people in China kind of are okay with, you know, the way that the government's, you know, running things, because at the very least, they're not getting bullied and, you know, attacked. At least they can stand on their own feet. What China is lacking, I think China, you know, Chinese people in a lot of ways do admire American culture. You know, I grew up with like American movies. I watched Terminator, Rambo, Titanic. I remember when Titanic first came out, you know, all the upperclassmen kids in primary school were like wearing these Titanic shirts. We call them tongue tying, means, you know, ship sinking. You know, it's not Titanic, but it's ship sinking. And we thought, oh, wow, they're so cool. You know, what's that movie? You know, only cool kids watch it. You know, that's just pop culture. You know, Chinese people love American movies, American music. I'm not too sure, but definitely movies. You know, I mean, I don't need to remind people that, you know, you can go to China and find, you know, movies and stuff like that. The same thing with China. You know, I think that, you know, we also tend to think that the grass is greener on the other side. You know, all Americans are so cool, they're so good, they're so advanced. But then we forget that, you know, our culture also had, like, the Chinese culture also had, you know, a lot of rich traditions, you know, wise people, you know, Tai Chi, Confucius, Lao Tzu, Sun Tzu, Art of War, which is something that's still, you know, used in American military teachings. I'll tell you a story. Like, when I was, here in the United States, you know, some people once in a while, maybe they're confusing China with Japan or something, but they said, oh, you know, Chinese people, you guys are so spiritual, you're so cultured, I love you guys. I was like, why? Because you guys are so spiritual, you guys, you know, follow rules, you guys are so civil, polite, and everything. I'm like, well, all right, well, I'll take you, I'll take you to China and then tell me what you think. We don't think that we're very, you know, I think most people were not really like that. But before I came to the United States, there are Chinese people, my teachers, I think some of my relatives also told me that, hey, you know, when you go to the United States, you know, you got to make sure you shake people's hands. You know, you got to wipe your mouth when you eat, because Americans are very cultured, you're very polite, you know, and also they don't lie. You know, lying is not, you know, we kind of lie sometimes in China. We're sneaky, or not sneaky, but lie. But in China, I mean, in the United States, people are very, you know, like that part's kind of, you know, there's some truth to it. But they told me, like, how Americans are so much more cultured and everything. But it was much later, you know, living in the United States now, I was like, this is kind of funny, you know? You know, Americans think that Chinese people are more cultured, more advanced, civil, more wise, whatever. And Chinese people are telling me that, oh, Americans are so much more advanced, civil, polite, you know, advanced and everything like that. You know, look at our culture. You know, we don't know anything. You know, we're so, I used to hear the word luoho in China a lot. You know, like, they're saying like, oh, China is so luoho. It's like, luoho means like you're falling behind. But it kind of means like you're just like not as good as other countries. You know, you're just like, I guess it's kind of hard to explain. But so there's a modesty, in, I think, on both sides. You know, there are people that thinks China is just not, you know, luoho, and then also people in the United States that think that the United States is the worst country in the world. You know, like it's falling apart. You know, everything is bad. We're not spiritual. Blah blah blah. You know, but I think there's truth and not untruth on both sides. So I think at the end of the day, when the two cultures, two sides of the world, hopefully communicate with each other more, I think people will just laugh. You know, we'll realize that, you know, there are things that we don't appreciate about our own cultures, and we'll realize that we'll find it funny that other cultures think things great about our own cultures that are great in their eyes but terrible in our eyes, you know, or things that we even think about. So we do lack, you know, things, but I think in the end we lack awareness of the other cultures. And once we have that awareness, I think the result is laughter.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You are listening to Intellectual Thoughts of a Teenage Girl, Program 7, aired on Global Community Radio. You all know it's your host, Nicole Garland, and guest Sean Lay. If you have any comments or feedback for the show, please feel free to email me at intellectualthoughtsofateen@gmail.com. I also have a website you can check out, intellectualthoughtsofateengirl.blogspot.com, for any more information about the show and podcast. Also, feel free to hit me up on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook is Intellectual Thoughts of a Teenage Girl, and on Twitter at Teen Girl Radio. It's time for the open forum question. Feel free to tweet me your answers at Teen Girl Radio to this question. When you were old, what do you think your children will ask you to tell you stories about?
I think my children are going to ask me, you know, are you just as uncool as you're now as you were, you know, were younger? I think I'll tell them that. No, I was really cool. You know, I was actually cooler than you guys. But when I grew older, you know, I'm so cool, but you guys can't see that because, you're just too immature to see my coolness now. That's probably all I'll say to them.
Is there anything you want to share as a story in particular that you would prove to them that you were cool when you were younger?
Yeah, sure. I mean, my whole life, you know, I think I'm pretty cool. okay. What's a cool story about me? You know, I could, you know, since we're talking about China, I could say, you know, when I first came to the United States, I think I had a really good time learning English. And it was a time that was pretty happy in my life. Had a great time. And one thing I did was, you know, like learning English. My classmates will teach me all these bad words, and, you know, bad words to fourth graders, but not bad words to, you know, like adults. You know, bad words like pee pee poo poo. But you know, like I'll make them laugh and everything. But they'll be like, hey, you know, go up to your teacher, you know, and say this. It's like, yeah. And I pretend I don't know what it means. You know, I'll say it, and the teacher will look at my friends and be like, you know, what are you talking about? Also, another funny story is that when I was learning English, I was in Alabama. First of all, I mean, like, you know, they tried to teach me English with a southern accent. Oh, yeah, sure. You know, my mom is a hairdresser, and she said to her customer, and she said, you know, my son just came to the United States, you know, it's awful, he doesn't know any English words. You know, he doesn't speak English. And then her customer said, oh, that's not so bad. You know, I know this one kid at the school, you know, he's so bad at English that all he can say is yes or no. And then, okay, oh, really? Wow. And my mom asked me, you know, about this kid. And it turns out that kid was me.
That's very funny, Sean. Thank you for coming to the show, and I'll be definitely doing a part two with you because I'm very interested about China and I have a lot of questions for you that are left unanswered. Thank you for coming back to the show.
All right.
And in this world where you think nobody cares, I do, be you. Thank you for listening to Intellectual Thoughts of a Teenage Girl, and have a good night.